let us go over some of the basic yesoides of slichos. Okay, it's just a primer. Review some. Slichos may have started. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Slichos may have started for the Sephardim, but not for us.
But they don't blow shofar.
Okay, let's review some of the basic yesoides of slichos. First big major question, why is it that slichos begins on a Sunday? Why do we have slichos for a minimum of 4 days? So there are a number of reasons. First popular reason is, it says in Parshas Pinchas, with regard to all of the Moadim, v'hikraftem, when it comes to bring a carbon, you shall offer a carbon, v'hikraftem. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Torah does not use the standard word, the word that is used by all of the Moadim, but it uses the word va'asisem, you shall do, which has a connotation that you shall bring yourself. You are the carbon. Throughout the year, the animal is the carbon. On Rosh Hashanah, you become the carbon. There is a rule with regard to carbonos, a carbon requires bikur for 4 days. You must inspect the carbon 4 days in advance to make sure there is no blemish. And if there was a blemish, in fact, they would replace it. We have no choice. That's what the Bali Musa say, that there's a very big difference between the beaker of the Tamidim that were in the Beis HaMikdash and the beaker that we subject ourselves to. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, if the carbon Tamid was disqualified because it was a blemish, so you just go get another animal. But if we discover a problem for ourselves, then there is no replacement. So what are we to do? The solution is to be misakin yourself. Another popular reason why we begin on Sunday is because we follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that the world was created in Tishrei, which then means that the world that Adam Harishon was, the Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation. It's the day that Adam Harishon was created, and more importantly, it was the day that Adam Harishon was judged. Adam Harishon sinned and ate from the chait eitz hadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged. Adam had a trial on the first day of creation, and Adam, he passed, he prevailed. Yotza b'dimus, Chazal say. Dimus means with mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed compassion and allowed Adam HaRishon to live. Not forever, but at least he was given a pass on this day. Therefore, Maisa Avos Simul Labanim, just as Adam HaRishon was subject to Mishpat on the first day of creation, on Aleph Tishrei, after eating from the Chet Eitz Hadas, he did tshuva, and he was allowed to live. So too, we go through the process of doing tshuva and being judged for our actions, and hopefully we are judged Berachim and Bedimus to survive the coming year. Now, a pardon. Okay, he was granted a pardon. Granted a pardon on Aleph Tishrei. So then, what does that have to do with Slichas? What has to do is that if Adam HaRishon was judged on Aleph Tishrei, when was the world created? The world was created 5 days before. So the Poskim say, really, we should start Slichos 5 days before. But since every year is different, most of the time can't start in the middle of it. We have to start on a set day, so it should be consistent. So should we start on a Sunday, even if Rosh Hashanah would come out on a Tuesday? That for sure is no. It's only 4 days. What we do, that's too many. 2 days is too little. But even what we do now is too little, because we now only require 4 days of slichas, when really we should require at least 5 days of slichas. If the ikar reason why we have slichas is because the world was created on Chaf Hei Elul, Adam HaRishon was born on the sixth day of creation, which is Aleph Tishrei. So if we go 5 days back, that takes us to Chaf Hei Elul. So since it's the time of creation, we begin begin to say slichos. If that's the case, we really should say to have a minimum of slichos of 5 days and not 4 days. So the answer given is that we can be makel in this instance, assume that since there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so we can view the second day Rosh Hashanah as the sixth day of creation, and the first 4 days of slichos plus the first day Rosh Hashanah can be viewed as the 5 days that precede the Yom Had. It's a very interesting idea. We have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. We know that on the calendar. Well, the Nusach HaTzilah serves in place of Slichas. All the various piyutim are no less. So I just want to review. It's a very interesting idea. This totally new to me. I was never aware of this idea. It's a whole game. The first idea why we say slichos is because pasha, because you require bikur, v'asisim. You have to bring yourself as an offering. Therefore, you have to do introspection. And the whole idea is not do that. It's because the world was created 5 days before Rosh Hashanah. So most of the time, we have at least 5 days of slichos, at least 5 days, because Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. Or Rosh Hashanah is going to be on early in the week, so we're going to push back slichos the week before. But even in the time, like this year, where we have the bare minimum, and Rosh Hashanah is going to be Tuesday, Wednesday night, so we're only going to have 4 days of slichos. So where's the fifth day? So in this situation, we fall back on the leniency that will view the second day Rosh Hashanah as being the Yom Hadin for Adam Harishon, the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him a pardon. So then the 4 days of Slichos plus the first day of Rosh Hashanah will serve as the 5 days which preceded Maaseh Bereishis. And why are we, do we have to go and why do we have to have this standard? If this is tackling the reason that 4 days, 5 days, why do we indeed start on Sundays? The commentators ends because because we want to parallel Maaseh Bereishis with Yom Rishon. The world was created on a Sunday. So therefore, all this goes together. Since the world was created on a Sunday, it's ideal that we should start the Slichos on a Sunday in order to remind us this is Chaf Hei Elul, the day the world was created. How many people think like that? You go to Slichos on Mitzvah Shabbos, how many people think, oh, Rosh Hashanah is down the line, and the Tshuva, Bikur, there's another thing to have in mind. This is the anniversary in one dimension of the creation of the world. What?
You don't necessarily start Slichos on Chaf Hei.
Right, in a Hanami, it's a different dimension. Time is very flexible. Time is flexible. It's a different dimension of time. You start on Yom Rishon to impress upon you the beginning of creation that took place on Sunday. It's not 100% accurate. It's either we're going to go back or we're going to go forward, and we're going to play around, but it's close enough to bring to light this idea. So these are three very powerful thoughts in why there are 4 days here.
What the hours why the Chavei
he explains here that they don't rely, the shirish of why the Sfaradim disagree with the Ashkenazim, they're not favorable of this thing of the human sacrifices, so that's out. There's no 4 days of Bikur for Karbanos, and they hold that the world was not created in Tishrei. The world was created like Rabbi Yoshua in Nisan. If it was created in Nisan, so there's no purpose in saying Slichos 4 days, Chaf Hei, there's nothing to Chaf Hei. So why then? Our Shloishim Yom Kodem Achak. It's nothing more than Shloishim Yom Kodem Achak. They have a much shorter Slichos. They have a very short Slichos.
They say the same thing every day.
They say, it's just a reminder that Rosh Hashanah is coming. It's also corresponds to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. Moshe went to Shemayim in the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul to receive the second Luchos. So it's Yimei Rachamim, Yimei Rotzon of the Luchos. But it has nothing to do with Bikur. It has nothing to do with the creation of the world. That's why the Sfaradim are not focused in on the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Pizmoin. the last part of the slichah is what we call the pizman. Some place, the only thing they say in shul is the pizman. It's all they say. They say keller chapayim, yigibul mitzrachamim, and then they say the pizman. Now, by the way, before we don't make any mistake about it, the ikar part of slichas is the yud gimel midos rachamim. That is the ikar shabi ikar. Not the pizman, not the keller melech yoshev, not the keller chapayim. It is to say b'tzibur, to say together as a tzibur, the yud gimel midos harachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that taught Moshe Rabbeinu Yigimus HaRachamim, and that, in fact, that's why there's a very big akpada that the Shliach Tzibur should be wearing a talis, even among whether you Nusach Sard, no matter whatever your customs are with regard to wearing a talis during the year, Slichas everyone, there's no exceptions. Everyone is of the opinion that the Shliach Tzibur should be wearing a talis. Why? Not because Kavarat Tzibur, not because of the Slichas, it's because of reciting the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It says in Chazal, Nisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he dressed himself like a Shliach Tzibur, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. The Shliach Tzibur serving the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam, therefore he has to be dressed accordingly, properly. So even though many Nusach Sfarat, many Nusach Ashkenaz as well, are not makbid on wearing a talis for Mincha, Marif, getting an Aliyah, and all many things, they don't take into consideration the Inyan of Kavarat Tzibur, and they don't hold that this to be the levush of the Shliach Tzibur. When it comes to Slichas, that is the exception. Now, besides the Yud, and that's why you're not allowed, you can say Slichas privately. If a person cannot make it to Shul, there is no harm done. You can say the entire Slichas from beginning to end privately. The only thing that you cannot say is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. The person is extremely desperate to say it. He can say it as reading Psukim. You read it with the Nigun, with the Trop, and you have to read further. You can't stop v'nakei. You have to say v'nakei lo yinakei pokeid avon avos. You have to the entire pasuk. That even that is questionable. Not everyone is favorable of even doing that, but that can be done b'diavad. That's the ikar. And besides that being the ikar, we like to embellish the slichos, of course, with slichos. We're reciting various psukim all, and the highlight of the slichos is the pizmoin. So here is a very interesting, discussion. What is the precise translation of the word pizmoin? I never knew. Pizma. It's the part of the slichas we all say together. So what does it mean exactly? So you take out a dictionary, modern Hebrew dictionary, they write, it's a song. The modern translation is a song. That's what, a rhythm. Okay, but pizmon is just one of the slichos. There are multiple slichos. The slichos have certain names for them, but pizmon is the one that's given, is ascribed to the one that is recited line by line. First, the Shliach Tzibur recites the first. The custom is the Shliach Tzibur recites the first line, and the Tzibur responds, reads the first line, and then immediately they recite the second line, and then from there on, the Shliach Tzibur he finishes off after the Tzibur. But the other slichos, everyone says the whole thing to themselves, and the Shliach Tzibur just says the very last. What does it mean, pizmon? We know what it means in concept, but what is the precise translation of the word pizmon? In a modern dictionary, it will translate pizmon as a song. Okay, you probably can look it up on Google. You can look it up on Google Translate. I'm curious, do you have Google Translate there?
Yeah, we have
Google Translate.
Pizmon.
Pizmon. No, I want a translation. Modern translation. Pizmon.
Go to Pizmon and see.
Look, Jewish songs. Song. Look, Google Translate. Probably translate.
That's Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Okay. But it means to see. It's not so simple. Shockingly, we're learning now a Sefer Eif. Now there's a targum which is not our targum. The word vayan, vayan Eiv, vayan Elifas, vayan Bildad, vayan Tsoifar, vayan Hashem, vayan Elihu, and it says even so vayan, it says multiple towards the word vayan. And the targum always translates the word vayan the same exact way as I don't remember, I'm sorry. But there is another version of a targum. This is very interesting, Mar Mokka, and I don't have any elaboration on this. But there is another Maramakum, the very first time Eev spoke, and he said Vayan. The Targum translates it as, let me tell you exactly what it's going to be. One second, I apologize, let me turn to the page. It says, it's not now a Targum. You have the regular Targum there? Targum. Upozam. Okay, it's not an hour version. We don't have an hour version. But Upozam Tz'oka. Upozam, it's an Aramaic word. Vayan. We know Vayan means he raised up his voice. He cried. He was frustrated. But the word Vayan is used also in reference to the friends. But there, it's not. We're not differentiating. The Targum, this version of Targum, which is not our version, it's not found among us. It's a fascinating Maramokoim. Eov, obviously, you know, let's take a step back. We learned Eov. What? You found Google Translate?
Well, we found it.
What does Google Translate say?
Either it's a couplet, a ballad, or a chorus. That's a chorus.
A chorus. A pismoy translated in modern Hebrew, chorus.
Choruses.
A chorus. All right, I saw another translation as a song. Okay, but this is a fascinating concept. We learned safe, and we know. When Eve spoke, Eve's response is different than the friends. The friends are trying to console him, they're trying to explain. When he cried, it was a cry of frustration, of tsar. Of bitterness. I mean, there are many things you can read into what Eev said out of frustration for a situation. And shockingly, that's the word that the Targum uses only in this version of Targum, only for Eev's expression of response is Upozam Tz'oka. Amazing. That's the shorish of a pizmai. So what think about, what are we doing? We're coming to Chodesh Baruch Hu, during Slichas, and what are we doing? We're behaving like Eiv. We're behaving, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. I mean, we're just telling Maramokam what this has to be developed. This is a very fascinating idea. First, you have to find me an edition of Eiv that has indeed this targum of a pozam tsa'oka. But it's really a shocking.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then he goes further. Okay, about everything I'm telling you is coming from the Sefer of Rav Yehuda Naftali Yaakov Tezner. Rav Yehuda Tezner, his Sefer on Sha'arei Hayamim Hanoroim. Okay, then he goes on to say something. He brings out, it's really a Greek word. Not a Greek word, he brings out a Maimon Chazal in Parashas Yisro. This is very interesting what it says here. In Parashas Yisro, it says, "B'chodesh Hashlishi, the Tzeis b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim." I don't look up the whole source, but it goes on. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, it says, "Pizma didehi salkas bei b'neisan li oiraisa," which basically means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, in His nobility, in His generosity, gave us the Torah. From the context of the Yonasan ben Uziel, the word pisma means generosity. That's not anything that we're familiar with. We're familiar with it being a song, a chorus, couplet, or some type of musical reference point. It means nobility. And he brings a source, an ingredient, it's a Greek word. It comes from the Greek language. It means nobility. What does it then mean? Why then is the pismon called the pismon? So he says something amazing. He says, there's a seder to slichos. We first come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives a mashal of an ani. A poor man comes and he begs on the door and he says, "Oh, I apologize. I know it's the middle of the night. I know I woke you up. I'm so sorry for bothering you, but I'm starving. I have nothing to eat, and I know I smell. I'm not clean. And this, the poor man, before he goes on to beg for a handout, he apologizes. There's a lengthy apology of slicha, mechila, kapara, and then he says, "Can you do me a taiva? Can you give me a piece of bread?" And the usher says, "Sorry, buddy, you're too late. I already gave away all the food." And then, when the ani, after he apologizes, and he says, "I'm sorry," and he asks nicely, and he gets nowhere, he then says to the Gevir, I'm not taking no for an answer. You are a generous person. This is what you do. This is what you do. You're a philanthropist. This is you. Your nobility demands that you give me something to eat. Don't give me this nonsense. And you even talk with chutzpah. This is what he says. That is the Seder HaSlichos. Right? Erev Hashanah. 2 hours Slichos. So you start off. It's slicha, mechila. Then you ask nicely. When you get to the very end, you say, Ribbono shel Olam, I played nice. I was good all along. I said, I'm sorry. I asked for forgiveness. I spoke to you with humility and I asked you kindly. But now I'm desperate. It's the end of slichas. You have to give me. You have no choice. You are Goymel Chasadim Tovim, you are a being of graciousness, of nobility. That's the Pizmoin. It's the clincher. It's an amazing concept. It's an amazing, amazing new idea to understand why the Pizmoin is called the Pizmoin. You have to know the etymology of where this word comes from. It comes from a meaning of nobility, and it's not a slicha, it's not mechila, it's not kapara, it's not a bakosha. All of those are different parts of the Seder. The end is tachlis. You have to be generous. You have to bestow kindness upon us. Yeah.
It's right or wrong, but by stretching things, you can't say Elit Zion is the Pizmoin by
Kinnas. Elit Zion, you're saying something very interesting. That Kinnas, we also at the end but we don't use that word. And you never heard someone Elit Zion as being this. So maybe that also sheds light on a precise meaning of the word pisma. Okay, I'm just throwing out these ideas that he presents in a footnote. Some of the best stuff in this sefer is in the footnotes. Little footnotes. He says these some very amazing things. Okay, one other quick thing I want to point out. This is totally new to me. I believe just this last thing we'll stop here. We'll continue this tomorrow. Is we skip a lot. Even if you go to a shul where they're really, you know, they'll kvetch. Everyone skips. This ain't sadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yechta.
Even on Tisha B'Av.
Ain't sadik ba'aretz. We're not talking about Chaim Berlin, okay? Chaim Yishno, I don't know Chaim. Chaim Berlin, it takes the on a regular day. Toiv me'at sheloi b'kavana, meharbe sheloi b'kavana. I used to daven in two places, in Young Israel and Chaim Berlin. In Young Israel, they say everything. Not everything, 95%. Chaim Berlin, they say the beer skeleton. Only difference is, no, I don't say Kavana. I don't say Kavana. The only difference is, in Young Israel, it doesn't take more than 20 minutes. I used to make the count. And in Chaim Berlin, it doesn't take less than 40 minutes. Okay, so 40, okay, it depends on what you have. So 20 minutes versus 40 minutes, even though you're saying a fraction, it says something also, okay? You're not getting out of there less. And Erev Hashanah, it takes almost an hour. So even though... What? That's for saying almost nothing? For saying mamash to bespear skeleton? And a regular shul, no, you should know the regular shul in the Young Israel where I used to daven, they took an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah.
Hour and a half with a Taras Nadar.
Right.
So...
Really? With davening and a
Taras So you daven in a yeshiva. It's only Chaim Berlin. You daven in a yeshiva. So the slichos, let's say, will take Erev Hashanah 45 minutes without Hataras Nadarim. And davening is very slow Erev Hashanah. And then Hataras Nadarim. You're not getting out of there two and even more than that. And if you go to a shul, they daven very, very fast. It takes even less time. So it's not this bad reputation that the yeshiva staff is giving. It's not really fair. Because they say slowly and the davening is a different pace. It's not fair to criticize people that say very little. Okay, but one thing very interesting to point out, and this is totally new to me. I never appreciated this. Okay, let me go take any slichas Erev Hashanah. Okay, so you have Vayavar Hashem al Panav. After you say Vayavar, before you begin the slichas, there are always these are few psukim. Okay, I'm giving you an example. I opened up.
After
l'chol rav ches l'chol korov, right? Then it says I open up randomly. Okay, to slichas erev Rosh Hashanah, the slichas lamed beis. Adam, the big and big grace, it says, Adam eich yizkeh. Okay, that's the big oiz, that's the slichas. And by the way, before, and one thing I'm running around, before every slichah you're supposed to say, you're supposed to say Elokeinu k'avoseinu. The only time you don't say Elokeinu k'avoseinu is if the slichah itself starts. He points out that many, even some of the good malachim, they have a mistake. They have, no matter what, even the slichas that begin with Hashem also have Elokeinu k'avoseinu, which is wrong. That's redundant. That you're not supposed to do. Okay, that's a mistake. So here they have Adam. Now, right before it says Adam, okay, the grace I see, which everyone is going to say. So before, Hashem, Hashem, Yud Gimel Midas Kevaldik, what do most people do? Hashem, Hashem, Chalrachim V'chanun, and as soon as they finish the Yud Gimel Midas, they right away, Chaparayin, Adam Eich Yitzke B'chol Yom, Lamavis Mechakei, they right away go into the Slicha. And they skip the little teeny Oisiyos. The little teeny Oisiyos is the Ikar. The big Oisiyos is the Tafel. Is the Tafel. This, the little Oisios, was written during the Rishonim. This was the original Slichos that was said from the time of the Rishonim. It is the Ikka. It was written, he writes here, he brings it to us, Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. And this was written much, much later during the Rishonim, post Rishonim, and it's an elaboration. It is coming to open up and expand upon the little psukim. And therefore, this Rabbi Teshri makes a very, very, very powerful argument, and very critical, is if you're going to skip the big letters. Don't skip the little letters. Okay, so this is Issa. We'll continue tomorrow.